You are listening to The Alouettes Flight Deck, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
All right, folks, we've been cleared for takeoff.
I'm gonna be iconic.
Yeah!
And welcome to Alouettes Flight Deck. I am Tim Capper. This is it's our show, man. It's our show where we're talking about everything about the Alouettes, aren't we, buddy? I mean, it's Grey Cup champs, and Tim forgot the intro, and you know.
Yeah, allow me. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Cliffy D, and welcome to the Alouettes Flight Deck, the podcast dedicated to the reigning, defending Grey Cup champion Montreal Alouettes. That's Tim Capper. I'm Cliffy D. You know the vibes. Make sure you follow us on all the socials. And we couldn't be doing this show without our presenting sponsor, SportBuff. Tim, tell these fine folks that are listening about SportBuff.
Yeah, SportBuff, they've been with us for quite a few years, and we're very happy to have them as our presenting sponsor. They've also given you, the fans, a promo code where you can use at checkout. You can save 10% off your entire order. So if you head over to sportbuffshop.com, use the code, which is ALSFLIGHTDECK10. Check out, save the merch, and support local.
Always support local.
Yeah. And how many years? It's only our second live show. And Tim, hey, you know what? I'm batting 50%. That's not very good, but it'll get better. That was brutal, buddy.
We got nowhere to go but up. I mean, listen, season 9, you know, they can't all be perfect, right? So,
yeah.
Ain't no thing. That's how I look at it. But yeah, we got a great show for you guys tonight. We got a fantastic interview with Alouettes general manager Danny Machocha. Got a few things to talk about as well. So, you know, we're going to have some fun. You know, like, we're live. Make sure if you're paying attention to us on Facebook Live or on YouTube, make sure you throw some comments down. As you can see, the links below right here. Make sure you, if you're not already, like, subscribe, follow us, do whatever it takes for you to be a part of this. We want to hear from you. So, let's have some fun. Let's have some fun out here.
Yeah, and you know, I said, it's sometimes there are these shows sometimes that it is a little bit harder to talk about topics when, you know, the Owls that really have surpassed free agency, and we have had some guys still come in. But we got a lot of things coming up. I mean, the Owls have done some unique stuff this past couple of weeks. We got what's happening in Waterloo? It's the
the Combine Invitational.
Thank you. Yeah, the Combine. I'll say something else. It's like, that's not the right word. Yeah, it's the Combine too. And but you know, and again, Danny Mac's back, man. And we'll be getting to that in a little bit. That's it. It'd be so great talking to him. So
always a blast. And like I said, a far different tone and interview than it was 1 year ago when we had him on the show for the first time. I mean, like I said, we've talked about this ad nauseum, but what a difference a year makes, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I think even Danny had to, you know, no choice but to agree that, yeah, I mean, compared to where the Alouettes were last year to where they are this year, what, like, night and day. Practically night and day difference.
No kidding. And it actually popped up on my Facebook feed because I remember posting something about it. You know, we're just past 365 days. Would it be 366 since we had a leap year? PKP became our new owner. And that popped up in my feed just the, you know, this past weekend. So, I mean, it's, you know, huge difference. The 2023 versus 2024 is such a huge difference. And then obviously, then we see this week also too, dude, we're reminded of the infamous things that happened almost 4 years ago, starting 4 years ago, that infamous thing with, with COVID-19. It's just like things have changed so much in that time. So.
Yeah.
And yeah.
It's kind of funny to think about too, because 2019 arguably was a season where the Alouettes got their act together and turned things around and made football relevant in Montreal again. And we were excited. Like, even though the Alouettes lost in the Eastern semifinal to Edmonton, we couldn't help but be excited. Like, okay, looks like they've got their act together. Looks like they've finally put together an exciting team that people can get behind and start to support. And just wait till 2020, you know, like, it's going to be great. They hired Danny Machocha as the general manager, brought in Mario Cecchini as the president, new owner too at the time as well. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it seemed like everything was falling into place. Like, oh my God, this is going to be great. 2020 is going to be an absolutely epic season. And then COVID hit and everything just went to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah. And it was at that time too, that we had, you know, Vernon Adams had set the career records for a CFL career. And he seemed to be our guy going forward. And, but again, so much has changed in 4 years. We're, you know, a Grey Cup champion again for the first time in 13 years. And it just, you know, things just went from there. So I think one thing though, we really need to, and I think it's really important that we start off the show this week when we talk about any of the topics that we have this week, Cliff, is we need to talk about, you know, the news that we heard earlier this week about the morning of, you know, or morning, obviously, the passing of former Alouettes head coach Dave Ritchie. It's a gentleman who made obviously a name for himself in quite a few places in the CFL. You know, anybody who knows Dave Ritchie, especially obviously in Winnipeg, to, you know, specifically in Winnipeg, you knew the name Dave Ritchie. And just hearing that he had passed, you know, it kind of takes a hit to Alouettes Nation and to fans across the CFL who knew him, who played under him, and who coached with him. It's just a, you know, it's a sad thing to see in the CFL.
Oh, definitely. And yeah, it was funny, like the first head coach in this new Alouettes history, if you will, like since the return in 1996, was Bob Price. Mm-hmm. And Dave Ritchie was the second coach, the second head coach that came in. So immediately memorable, if only for that. He's won Grey Cups as well. He's also been essentially a successful coach worldwide, even. Like, he's also helped develop football internationally as well. And is just unfortunate. I've only met him a couple of times. One was actually on, I think it was the first fan train
the one to Hamilton.
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember him passing through the because for folks who don't know what the fan train is all about, this was way back in the day, back in, I think this is 97, that was the first fan train. Like,
yeah.
After the game, like you went to Hamilton, we watched the game. It ended up being, was it a 31-31 tie?
Tie, yes.
Yeah, something. And then afterwards, everybody gets back on the Via Rail to head back to Montreal, including the players and the coaches and such. And they'd have players kind of walk through each car and greeting fans so you can, you know, meet them, sign autographs, take pictures, all that jazz. And I definitely remember Coach Ritchie was actually one of the coaches that came by and was able to shake his hand and say hello and that. But it was a nice memory from that because, let's face it, the game itself and Hamilton at that time, it was a different time, different than when you and I went to Hamilton last, which was last November. Yeah. Safe to say quite a bit has changed since 1997 to 2023. but yes, it's, you know, unfortunate. Dave Ritchie also, too, was inducted into the Canadian Football Hall of Fame in 2022. Mm-hmm. So I'm thankful he got the opportunity to be enshrined before his passing. You know, really unfortunate, but man, it's a tough loss for the football world. And obviously our thoughts and sincere condolences go out to his entire family. I have no doubt our first home game, I sincerely hope and fully expect the Alouettes too to honor him in some way, shape or form, whether it's a moment of silence or even just a little video tribute. I mean, something anyways, but I have a feeling the Alouettes, knowing the history that they, you know, how they are with history and everything like that, I have no doubt in my mind that they're going to properly commemorate this fine coach and fine gentleman.
Yeah. And I did this, you know, this is one thing I didn't know about Coach Ritchie is that, you know, he actually was our defensive backs coach with the Concords, 83 through 84. Five. I'm trying to remember when they changed back to the Alouettes and then through 87. So he was with the team from 83 to 87 before he became the head coach, obviously 10 years later, where, you know, 97 and 98. So Again, yeah. coached the Bombers for six seasons, and was named Coach of the Year in 2001. Head coach at BC, won the Grey Cup in 94. 108 career wins, my friend. Seventh most in CFL history. And he actually, in his career, he hoisted three Grey Cups. So
there you go. I mean, that is one heck of a coaching career. No question about that. And also incredible to think that, yeah, a member of Alouettes Nation, even way, way back in the day.
Yeah.
Like, as we talk about being a part of the Concords even. So, I mean, like that's going way back. I mean, like, I'm sure the, you know, kids watching this, if there are kids watching this, be like, what the hell is a Concord? But yeah, Google it. It's there.
Yeah, it's not the Lego that pops up when you Google it at all. It's not that new Concord Lego. It's actually the airplane itself. So, yeah. So, hey, I'm just curious because I've never, you know, when a CFL Hall of Famer passes, and I don't know it, and if anybody knows about this, whether it is currently in the chat or if it is later on, if you're listening to this on audio or on replay, you know, let us know. Does the Hall of Fame do anything special for a Hall of Famer who may pass? You know, like how they will make a, you know, they'll put out flowers or they'll make a, you know, they'll do something for the particular person itself. Have you heard anything about what they might do? I mean, I can't think of anything because it's really the first time that it's come to mind that, you know, this is the most recent Hall of Famer to pass.
Yeah, that's a very good question. Yeah, I mean, if anybody out there in podcast line knows, feel free to hit us up on our socials, let us know. And yeah, that's a really good question. You would think, but I mean, it's, mm-hmm. you know, I think just the fact that just about every major outlet did sort of acknowledge his passing. I mean, I guess that's one thing. But yeah, as far as an actual, any sort of gesture or whatnot.
Or a memorial or something like that. Or yeah, maybe
something posthumous.
Maybe the
really, Owls, I do not know.
Owls or Blue Bombers might do something on their uniforms this year. I don't know. I mean, it's possible.
Yeah, maybe a little sticker on the back of the helmet, something like that.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it just came to mind because, you know, memorials are done for people that, you know, that people care about and stuff like that. And I don't know. As I said, let us know. If anybody knows, just let us know. Shoot us something over on socials or as I said, if you're in the chat tonight or afterwards, yeah, just give us a comment if you happen to know. So, the Alouettes, you know, they're obviously starting to ramp up quite a bit, Cliff, when it comes to, you know, how they're going to celebrate the Grey Cup championship. You know, we've already talked about the book that's going to be produced for season ticket holders and stuff like that, which will be distributed later on this year. Obviously we've talked about, you know, what, you know, the for staff, the ring sizes have already been taken and stuff like that. You know, the Owls have already started with their ramp up for the season itself. And just recently, they put out this pretty amazing, and it was a hit to me, dude. This time of the year, I'll take any hype video I can, but the hype video that the Owl was put out, you know, basically saying, hey, you have 100 days until the home opener, get ready. And if anybody hasn't seen, I think it's on the Alouettes social media accounts, and it's also on their webpage, but dude, I was hyped. I wanted to get back into that stadium now. I mean, I could if I wanted, but there'd be nobody there. But, you know.
It'd be awful freaking lonely, I'll tell you.
But when you see this type of stuff, I mean, obviously the Alouettes over the past couple of years have really improved how, you know, they've always been I've had a huge presence on social media. But when it comes to this type of stuff that's being produced, whether it was, obviously I know the Owls weren't included in it, but it was the documentary last year or the player profiles that they've been doing or stuff like that. You got to admit, they've really stepped up their game and looks like they're shooting for the moon when it comes to leading, you know, celebrating the Grey Cup and leading up to the home opener.
As they should. I mean, let's face it. I mean, as defending Grey Cup champions, who better to lead the charge? Who better to get people hyped about it? Because let's not forget, it's so different. Like, we keep going back to this, but 1 year ago, I mean, it was doom and gloom, and everybody was just, everybody thought, okay, this is it. The Alouettes are finished. Like, this is like, there's no way they can recover from this. Like, you could even entertain the notion of a Grey Cup. Like, everybody and their mother had predicted this team was going to be DFL, and look what happened. So now this year, Cody Fajardo said in his presser recently, we've gone from being the hunters to the hunted, and they're ready for it. And as such, you got to be leading the charge. You got to be the ones that stand up and say to everybody, hey, guys, 100 days until our home opener. If you're not excited, let's get you excited. And This is the way to do it. I mean, yeah, free agency is always good because, you know, new players coming in and old players leaving, just giving new ideas of what to do with the team. Next week, we've got the combine happening. So, I mean, you're going to be seeing the future stars of the Canadian Football League in action. And who are the Alouettes going to draft? Well, we won't know until very early May. Or sorry, no, it's April 27th. No, sorry, April 30th, if I'm not mistaken.
It's early this year. I think it's early this year because of how the calendar fell. Yeah.
Correct. But, yeah. I mean, late April, early May, you're going to find out who the Alouettes are going to draft to become a part of this organization. And then, next thing you know, training camp in mid-May. I mean, so, yeah, I mean, we're past the winter doldrums, I think. I think we're past all of that. Now, this is the time to start getting ready, getting hyped for what's to come in 2024. I mean, with the schedule's out, so we already can start making plans if we want to go road games.
Schedule's out. Schedule's out? Hold on.
Yeah. Already, I've got a lot of people on my socials feed talking about wanting to make the trip to Montreal, finally coming to see Percival Molson Stadium after so long. Whether or not it had anything to do with the Alouettes winning the Grey Cup or not, I can't say for certain, but maybe it's just simply now is the time to come and check out Percival Molson, come see what all the hype is about. I mean, you watch the games on TV, but I mean, as we tell people constantly, it's nothing compared to being there live. So I think it's great that the Alouettes have taken it upon themselves to help start stoking that fire, like start getting people hyped and ready and excited about football coming back. And yeah, I think as Grey Cup champions, you have to be the ones leading that charge and let everybody else play catch up as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, exactly. You happen to bring it up too. I know there's a little bit more to the topic that we were going to talk about when it came to the Grey Cup and stuff that the Alouettes are doing. But since you brought it up, what was your thought? I mean, again, the Alouettes all of a sudden having impromptu interviews that are available to local media and later on to the supporters via their YouTube page and all their socials. As you stated, they brought in Cody Fajardo for like a 30-45 minute conversation, if I'm not mistaken, just rapid fire from reporters and stuff like that. And what was your thought? What was your thought on what Cody said? Anything that he said really stand out to you?
Well, as I said, that mindset of now people aren't going to sleep on the Alouettes anymore, essentially, is I'm paraphrasing, but basically the idea that, yeah, now we're the hunted. Now everybody's going to be coming for us. And he's ready and he's excited. I think especially, too, with some of the free agent acquisitions that have been made, essentially with the knowledge also, too, that this is essentially his team. And whereas this time last year, yeah, he was just happy to be, someone wanted him playing for their team. But now he's taken full ownership of this team. He's got the backing of management. He's got the backing of his head coach, Jason Moss. This is essentially Cody Fajardo's team. And he's embraced it. Like, he's bought in, and as well he should, because they gave him an extension. So, of course, he's going to buy in. But the idea that this is his team and he's ready to help make this happen. And even I've seen interactions with other Alouettes fans and other CFL fans with him, and you could just see the excitement, the joy, the almost, I want to say a little bit of relief as well, just knowing like, yeah, I'm here and I'm staying put. Like, for example, I know it's related to the hashtag We Want Cody. And I know that has to do with WWE and Cody Rhodes, but a couple of fans kind of took that like, well, no, you can't have Cody as in Cody Fajardo, because he's Montreal's, and he's embraced that as well. Like, that could be happier.
I'm a Cody crybaby, so I'm good with that.
No, are you a consistent Cody
crybaby? Oh, there we go. That's it. That's it. We call him C. We'll call him C3. We'll bring that back for this year. Consistently consistent Cody. Yes, it's if you know, you know type of thing.
So. Cody cubed.
Yeah. So I think one of the things that I loved that I found interesting from the conversation itself is that Cody said he actually took less, if I remember correctly, he took less time off in between the off season and when he was going to start to work out again. I think he said he usually took about 6 weeks. And I think he said he didn't take the full 6 or 8 weeks this time around, but at least when the interview was done. Didn't he say that he was going to take less time off than normal? Because mm-hmm. I think exactly showing that he is.
I believe so.
Yeah, that he really wants to get into it. So that's a sign of our QB1. That's a sign of our QB1. So.
And that's what you want out of your QB1. You want someone that is going to take put the team on his back and make it his. And we've seen it in the past, even with the quarterback clown car that we've had over the years. Always, whoever QB1 was that's what you got to tell the fans. This is what you got to tell people: is that I'm here, I want to be here, and I'm ready to help lead this team. But Cody Fajardo, to his credit, he took that and he's embraced it. In ways we haven't seen in a long, long time. And like it's exciting. It's definitely exciting. I mean, I think back Vernon Adams was the exact same way when he was here. And I think when it came to Vernon, it wasn't a matter of him not wanting to be the man. He wanted to be the man here. It just never felt like he really truly got the support from the organization. Whereas here, Cody Fajardo does have the support of the organization, does have the backing of his coach, and he's really embraced being QB1 after years in Saskatchewan where, he was well-liked and appreciated and respected, mm-hmm. but as soon as things started going south for whatever reason, there was a little bit of that sentiment that maybe he's not the man after all, and I think that kind of weighed on him a little bit, but I think, especially since helping bring Montreal a Grey Cup championship, I don't think he's got that here. I think people are just content to see him play, see him do his thing, and he's given the opportunity to do what he does best, and good on him for that. I appreciate the fact that he's able to embrace the role of being the man here in Montreal and running with it as best he can, being that leader, being that that voice that says, yes, this is my team, and I've already led them to the promised land, and I'm going to do it again. And you can't help but be excited about that if you're an Alouettes fan.
Exactly. Obviously, there's a lot more for us to talk about when we're talking about how the Owls are really pushing their, the lead up, taking advantage of the Alouettes winning the Grey Cup. We have some very interesting, some photos coming out from fans that we're going to talk about. But first and foremost, before we can do that, we need to talk about what's going to be coming up at the Combine and everything else and what's happened this offseason in terms of the Alouettes brass. So without further ado, let's get to the interview that we had this week with Alouettes GM, Danny Machocha. And welcoming back to this show is the gentleman who put together one hell of a team, obviously, in 2023 and was able to bring Montreal and the province of Quebec another Grey Cup championship. We welcome proudly, once again, Danny Machocha. Hey, Danny, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. How are you guys doing?
Fan-freaking-tastic. How can you not be happy, right? I mean, when you think about like where we were a couple of months ago and to where we are today, I mean, this is – how can you not be happy?
Yeah, and it's, yeah, no, and, I agree and it's almost you. A year too, eh, Danny? It's literally a year to the day that Mr. Pelletier took over the team, so I can only imagine what you're feeling.
No, that's exactly correct. I think it was Sunday on March 10th that made it a year, so – yeah, I mean, it's been a great ride. It's been on a short period of time, we were able to obviously realize certain objectives that we had. And and we're looking forward to what the future has in store here with the leadership that we have in place.
For you being the general manager, obviously, if you're to look at the two different years, the off seasons, this off season compared to last off season, I can only imagine how happy you are that you actually had the funds, you had the okay to do everything that you wanted to do so far when it came to free agency. I can only imagine what it was like.
Yeah, I mean, we were able to be an active participant from you know, with what we call the communication week, you know, we were able to talk to players, we were able to talk to agents, and just try to figure out, you know, if they were a good fit and if they felt they were a good fit in our program for 2024. But I'll go even a step further. I mean, we did most of our heavy lifting in December and January. I mean, we got on a stretch there on a run of about 3 weeks. It seems like we were, you know, announcing one new signing or an extension every day. So, you know, this is a conversation that I had with Jason on the plane right back home from Hamilton just before it, you know, we touched down. We, you know, we had said to ourselves, well, now what? Now what do we do? And I would say within hours, because I know that we touched down, he jumped into my car, I was giving him a lift back home. We stopped at we stopped for lunch, and that lunch turned into about a 2.5-3 hour lunch. We put pen to paper and we drew up a plan, and we wanted to be proactive, and we felt like we were on a little bit of a momentum swing with where we were at, and you know, with our players, and we wanted to do our heavy lifting right away. So we started to, you know, identify our core, our foundation, and got them under contract. So free agency for us started the moment we touched down, the moment we got back from Hamilton, and that to me helped us get to where we are right now.
Was signing Cody the first announcement that you guys wanted to make? Because it seemed to me that with the signing of Cody to his multi-year extension, that he was the first domino to fall, so to speak, that really gave the Alouettes momentum in the offseason.
Yeah, and we were extremely strategic with that, because we knew who we wanted to extend. We had a plan, and I said, we're going to do it in a particular order. And we're going to start with our quarterback. And I called them up and I told them that was the plan. And I said, we're going to do it with you. Now, if we can't agree, then, you know, so it's, you know, we're going to obviously move on with our plan. And it doesn't take away with the fact that, you know, we're excited about having you back. But, you know, we want to do this with you. We want to extend you. We want to get on a little bit of a run here with this core that's still relatively young. You know, you being one of the leaders, if not the leader of our football team, we want to make sure that the first name that goes out is yours. So, and we were able to, I think we were able to come to a conclusion or an agreement with him within probably 48 hours. And then we got on a run, which I don't know if I'll ever, you know, experience that type of run again, but it was fun. It was we worked hard, but it was pleasant. You know, putting in those hours and talking to agents and talking to players, talking about what lays up ahead and how we viewed them in our program moving forward.
Now, with Austin Mack and Lual Ugalak exercising their NFL options and trying their luck down south, that kind of throw a wrench into plans as far as the core that you wanted to maintain going into 2024?
Well, they're part of the core. Obviously, when there's an opportunity like the NFL comes calling, you know, you just can't walk away from it. It's a great opportunity for Austin. It's a great opportunity for Lual also. And you know, they're both still in the contract, Lual for another 2 years. So if for some strange reason things don't work out for them, you know, we've had extensive conversations that, you know, they're more than welcome back. And I think, you know, they would come back. They both mentioned that they would come back. So, but, you know, this is going to happen. I mean, you know, if you're going to win football games and you're fortunate enough to win a championship every so often, people are going to look at your program and they're going to try to identify some of the players within it and ask themselves the question, at least in the NFL, can they help us? So this is to be expected, and hopefully we'll have a few more here over the next few years. If that's the case, that means we're doing well. So yeah, and we wish them the best. But like I said, if things don't work out, you know, we'd love to have them back. And I think they enjoyed their, you know, the run that they had here last year. And I think, you know, I'm more than convinced they'd come back and be part of, you know, what we've put together here.
I think it's safe to say Alouettes Nation would welcome back both gentlemen with open arms. No question about that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Amen.
Now, let's talk about the players that you managed to convince to come on board and join the Alouettes. You know, in 2020, when you took on the job as general manager, you said that the defensive line was the that was your pet project. That was what you wanted to make and improve upon. 4 years later, you're still tinkering with. Like, are you never happy with the defensive line? Is that really what it is? Or is it just constantly trying to find ways to improve on something that's already, in my opinion, something that's really fantastic in this league?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, I'm not one to say that I'm never happy, but I always feel like you can get better. I don't think you ever stay the same. You either get better or you get worse. You never stay the same. And here there's an opportunity for us to maybe get a little bit younger. Obviously, we had to invest some dollars elsewhere. So, it forced us to operate a little bit differently along the D-line. Let's also not forget that we sort of changed our identity throughout the course of the season. We went from primarily a 40 front to a 30 front with the extra linebacker playing the second level. And you got to factor that all in as far as scheme is concerned, the profiles that fit the scheme, and then attaching some dollar figures to those profiles. So, we're extremely happy with the guys that are coming in, and we're extremely happy about the guys that are rookies that are going to come in, and they're going to push some of our veterans. And you know as well as I do, after experiencing what we experienced last year, there's something to be said about having enough depth. And last year I would say that was one of the main reasons why we were able to do what we did, was because of the depth that we had in our organization. I think there was about 70 or 72 players that dressed for at least one game. If you take a good hard look at our back end, our DBs, those are not the ones that we broke camp with. Stubblefield was the third Sam backer that we played with behind Najee Murray and J.R. Reed. Inta was in and out of the lineup. Rogers was on the practice roster. Ruffin, you know, he moved around. The only stable one was probably Sutton and Daquan. So, depth is going to be extremely important, and we need to make sure that we have enough of it, and it has to obviously fit under the cap. And I think we were able to do so regarding the D-line.
Mm-hmm. Now, obviously there are going to be some slight changes in running back this year, obviously with William Stanback leaving the nest. But I also happen to notice, besides signing Walter Fletcher, you also are bringing in quite a few running backs this year. I can only imagine what you guys are looking for when it comes to these guys going head to head at camp.
Yeah, well, running backs is probably what the receivers were for us last year. Okay, so we're definitely excited about having Fletch back. We're definitely excited about Antwi. We've got some pretty dynamic running backs that are coming in, and they're different styles. So it's all going to be a question of what Coach Moss and our offensive coaches are looking for, and we added some depth as far as the Canadian content is concerned with Erlington. As you are well aware, you got to start seven Canadians. We're probably going to have five on offense, two on defense. But if you ever run into a situation or a stretch where you got some injuries with your Canadian content, especially with your starters, well, you can always change your ratio at the tailback position with Antwi and Erlington, if we ever choose to do so. So you have to make sure you got all this flexibility available to you, because you just don't know how the season's going to unfold. And if you have it right there in front of you and they're all competing, it makes it so much easier than trying to chase it off the streets, week five or week seven or week 14, which is going to be so much more difficult to have them come in and get with your program, understand what you're doing offensively, defensively, and be of impact. So, like I said, we're just trying to be proactive here in what we're in our thinking and this roster that we're putting together.
It seems to me too that if anybody looks back at the last the last guys that we've been calling our incumbent running backs, Danny, is that, and I don't know if you knew this or not, but they've not stayed the incumbent with the Alouettes for more than six seasons. Our last four incumbents, including Stanbeck, have not been here for more than six seasons under the Alouettes organization. I mean, we've had our next man step up, and obviously we're hoping Fletch is going to be that guy. I mean, if anybody were to ask you about that, I mean, do you have any insight on why, you know, the last, you know, when it comes to the Alouettes running backs, why they don't usually stay here more than 5 or 6 years?
I don't know about any other player at any other position that stays here more than 5 or 6 players, especially if you're an import. I think there's several reasons. First of all, if you take a look at the stability here the last few years, we haven't had any. So it's been a little bit of, we've been a little bit all over the place as far as that's concerned. And secondly, I think with free agency, all these one-year contracts, it is very, very difficult to keep someone, in your backyard, in your program for 5-6 years. It is extremely, extremely difficult. At the end of the day, listen, like I said, we had to identify our core players. We wanted to figure out who we wanted to invest money in and make sure that, you know, we have our nucleus back. And then when I say the nucleus, I mean, I'm talking about the next 2 years. I can't look beyond 2 years, especially in the CFL, and make sure that we can get on a run here for at least, the next 2 years with the players that, that we've got under contract. Having said that, we're next year at this time, we're going to have to dive into it and say, okay, now what do we do? Who do we extend? Who do we keep? Who do we move? Who's a cap casualty? Are there any injury issues with some of the guys that we have here? And you just have to go out there and replace them and draft well, because that's the other thing that we've been fortunate enough with, is that, 21 out of your 45 starters, or not 21 out of 45 starters, 45-man roster, 21 are Canadians. And so half of your roster is composed of, almost half is composed of Canadians. So you got to make sure that you got the right guys playing for you. You know, there's something to be said about Daquan, Lestache, and the Cote and Philpott and Julian Grant. These are all, these are all guys that are gonna help us in order to be to have a successful season.
Perfect segue into my next question. Next week, you and the organization are going to the combine in Winnipeg, no doubt to find the next Marc-Antoine Dacroix or Tyson Philpott or what have you. Have you identified any particular areas that you're going to be looking at improving upon, or is it just simply a matter of seeing who the best of the best of the draft class is and go from there?
Yeah, we always do best of the best. And whenever two players are equal, then we'll take a look at need. But we'll always pick the best available player. So if it's another free safety, it'll be another free safety. If it's an offensive lineman, it'll be an offensive lineman. Regardless of position, if it's a receiver, we'll take a look at receiver, but we want the best available player. Now, again, everything being equal, then we'll address need, but there's something to be said about picking the best available player. Cause even if you have too many at one position, you're still in a position of strength and leverage, cause you can maybe move some of those assets for future picks or maybe other players. So, that's our philosophy, at the office.
Fantastic. Well, after what you've been able to accomplish last season and going into this season, I think everybody can safely say whatever move you're going to make is going to be the right one, because you haven't missed so far. I mean,
we've been quite fortunate. You can't miss too many. You're always going to miss. No one's perfect. You're always going to, have one that you'd like to have back. I think part of being a good leader, whether it's the role that I occupy or Coach Moss or anybody else within the organization, is that when you are able to identify a wrong, well, turn the wrong into a right. That's what leadership is. And it's okay to be vulnerable at times and say, hey, I potentially made a mistake with this one, but let's not impose it on the staff and say, well, listen, you're going to have to play with them because we picked them in the first or second round. I just deem that to be bad business. So just do your due deal, have open dialogue, whenever we throw out names, we make sure that we challenge one another. Like I said, we do our due deal with every single player, and then collectively we'll make that pick. And it's our pick. So if it works out, it's our pick. If it's not, if it doesn't work out, well, it's still our pick. And now we got to do what's best for the organization. But for the most part, this is a recipe that's worked for us. You know, I'm fortunate to be surrounded by some great guys at the office and the scouting department. And, you know, we're looking forward to getting a few more players drafted here and in this year's class, and that are going to have an impact for us short-term and or midterm.
I'm going to wait for that book one day, Danny, where I actually get to see those guys that you that are the ones that you identify as the ones that got away.
Yeah, there's probably a couple, but there's also, you know, I mean, you know, if you take a look at our second round, you know, Daquan and Lestage, you know, those were big for us. Those were big. Yeah, they were passed up because, you know, opportunities south of the border. One never got to Green Bay. One went to Seattle, and we waited on him. You know, the trade with Winnipeg to get the 9th pick overall, getting Philpott, and there were a couple of receivers picked ahead of him. You know, these are the ones that obviously we're happy with. Luol, I mean, 7th pick overall.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to tell you what he was able to do in a mm-hmm. short period of time. So, and we're still excited about guys like Sutherland. We know that they're in the NFL right now, and he just signed a futures deal. But if he comes up here, I mean, that's as good as they come. So, I mean, you just have to, they're calculated, right? Mm-hmm. Risks, and it's based on the information that that you're able to get with your network south of the border and what you see on film.
Yeah, and also, I know we're going just real quickly to the draft itself. It's been quite a while that the Alouettes have picked 9th in the season itself. Would you guys entertain try to move up on the draft itself? Or are you guys pretty cool with where you are, at least at the moment?
Well, it takes two to the tango, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
you know, everybody would like to move up. But you know, we can move up to where we can move back, because we don't have a second round pick. So
that's right.
You know, we got to just see how these dominoes fall. And you're never going to know until draft day. So you just have to put some scenarios up on the board, identify the teams that you feel that you potentially are ready to dance with, or maybe they're ready to dance with you. Just create some scenarios and then just get on the phone and you only have a few minutes. So, mm-hmm. you know, you're gonna find out whether you want to move up, you want to move down, or you may not even pick up the phone and say, "Hey, we're quite happy being at 9 with the player that's staring us in the face, and we're just gonna call out his name and go with it." So, it's always interesting just to live through, you know, that day, and even what leads into that day, like next week at the combine. You know, that's where some of that dialogue is gonna start, and it may. You know, it may come to conclusion the day of the draft or the day prior to the draft. So you just have to keep as many balls as possible up in the air and alive, and know full well that, you know, when you have to pull the trigger, you'll pull it. And if just don't make a trade for the sake of making a trade. Make sure that, you know, that you're going to benefit from it. And sometimes status quo, there's nothing wrong with just being where you're at and picking the guy that you're fairly you know, confident that can impact your program.
Mm-hmm. Well, the last time the Alouettes had the last pick in the first round was back in 2010. And I believe they took some guy named Christian Matt, and that kind of worked out okay. So, sometimes you are better just to stay where you are. So.
Well, exactly. And, you know, there's so much talk on the first round picks. But take a look at most of our success, you know, and we've had success in the first and second, but it's all, you know, look at the 6th, 7th, and 8th round, mm-hmm. you know, the Goenlocks, the, you know, the Lindley's, the, you know, Fervius, mm-hmm. you know, we've done well. We've done well back there. So, and we're planning on, you know, finding a few gems back there. So, like I said, it's, everybody gets excited about the first round, but I get as excited about the 8th as I do about the first.
And fans really shouldn't get upset when it comes to you, what people may deem a futures pick versus a guy who can come into camp immediately, right? Because as we've seen, And as you mentioned just before, people can go to the NFL and come back and still make a hell of an impact with the Alouettes, even if it is a year down the line.
Well, that's one factor. And the other factor, Tim, is you take a look at your Canadian content. If you're happy with your Canadian content, right, and you feel like, hey, I can wait on this guy, even if I have to wait a year, mm-hmm. I can afford to wait on this guy. So we'll pick him because he's the best guy available with the information that we've got, and sit tight and wait for him. Now, if there's a need for Canadian content, well, then you're going to feel the pressure of drafting someone that's available right now to come to camp and compete for you. So and every team is different. You got general managers who are in their last year of their contract. They can't wait till next year. You got a couple that maybe have a couple of years running on their deal. Well, they can be a little bit more patient. So every team has got their own dynamics.
Yeah, for sure. I was going to say, one of the last things I wanted to ask you before Cliff will finish up for us is that I know we were talking about slightly before we started the interview tonight. The Alouettes are switching over to St. Jerome this year for training camp. And I was wondering if you could give a little bit of a sneak peek to the fans there who want that. Obviously, you want to come out and watch the team as it, gels together and whatnot. Tell us a little bit about what it's going to be like in St. Jerome versus Trois-Rivières.
Oh, it's going to be great. They've got two outdoor fields. They have a hidden gem there in St. Jerome, a new facility. I think it's not even 2 years old. They've got two fields, outdoor fields that we're going to be able to use. We can even split ourselves between offense and defense. And then when O&D are working together, we can have some of our specialists kick on the other field. And if the weather doesn't cooperate, we have an indoor facility just about maybe 50 meters away, where we're going to have all our offices and all our meeting rooms in that facility. And all our meals are going to be served in the facility. It is humongous. It is beautiful. It is more than just functional. And there's a ton of space to park. It's a huge parking lot. And our fans are going to come out and they can get a sneak preview of what the 2024 edition of the Montreal Alouettes is going to look like, and they're going to be as close as possible to the sidelines. So I just think it's a win-win situation for everyone.
And as I mentioned to you too, is that not only can fans get out to St. Jerome, because it's about 45 minutes away, they can get there by car, they can get out there by bus, and then actually they can get out there by commuter train. So there's going to be multiple ways for fans to come out to camp this May.
That's exactly right. And this is a team that belongs to all Quebecers. So we just want to share it with everyone. And this year, it'll be with St. Jerome. And they're excited about having us. I mean, the city councilors. And I mean, we had the press conference there. There must have been over 300 people.
Oh, wow.
Then the number of thank yous that we got. And we were thanking them for the opportunity and their hospitality. And I just think this is win-win. And I'm sure we're going to impact a lot of young kids that are playing high school football out there that are going to come out during that time of the year and watch their favorite team practice.
Well, there you go. No excuses. Alouette Station, however you got to get there, get out to St. Jerome in this May. Make sure you see your Grey Cup winning Alouettes in action. Danny, once again, you knocked it out of the park. Thank you so much again for joining us here on the Alouettes Flight Deck. We appreciate you, and best of luck, not just for the combine and the draft, but going into training camp as well. We're looking forward to seeing you and the team do what you did last year, but on an even bigger scale.
Well, I appreciate you having me on, and it's always a pleasure, and I appreciate your support.
Danny always has great information. I love having Danny on.
Oh, without question. And like I said, we keep talking about this, and I'll say it again. What a difference a year makes. I mean, you hear the tone in his voice and just the sense of, yeah, we climbed the mountaintop. We got there. We got the championship. But we're not done. There's still more. Mm-hmm. There's still the challenge still of repeating and continuing and building on and starting to create a dynasty of their own here in Montreal. And listen, I said before, and I'll say it again. The guy knows how to put together a championship roster. He did it last year. There's no doubt in my mind that the moves that he's made in free agency and the moves that he will be making after the combine going into the draft, those are going to be great moves as well. So we're thrilled beyond belief to be able to have Danny Machocha on to talk about this. We definitely appreciate him stopping by the flight deck, sharing his thoughts, his insight with us. And again, folks, if you're not excited about 2024, what's the matter with you?
And you gotta come out to camp. I said, now knowing you have three different ways, if necessary, you can come out to camp. I'm wondering if I'll reach out to Mark Waitman and see if there's going to be something, you know, when it comes to, maybe they'll do a shuttle from the train station, because their intermodule station in St. Jerome is where the commuter train and their buses both meet up. So maybe they could do a shuttle bus from there out to camp. I don't know, but I don't know what their plans are, but I'll see if I can get into the ear of Mark and see what they're going to do. But, you know,
planes, trains, and automobiles.
There you go, baby. There you go. And we talked about it before, before we started the interview, how the Alouettes were really ramping up their talk about Grey Cup and leading us up into the opener, into camp, et cetera, et cetera. They did something today on social. They were talking about, they actually showed the last six rings on social media, and they're saying, what do you want to see when it comes to what the Alouettes rings are, what, you know, fans want the rings to look like this coming year. And I can only imagine, because you know we look at they didn't have a 1970 ring there. I went looking for it, I couldn't find it, but either way, rings, you know, 77 on up, it's funny how much they've changed. We see what they do in the NBA. We see what they do in Major League Baseball. We see what they do. You know, there's two tier ones that they've started to do where they come off, you know, the top comes off of it and become a pendant, or you have LED lights in it for the NFL. I can only imagine what the Owls are going to do this year, because they can. The only thing I would look for, obviously, I think a lot of people are hoping that the Cody thing, the infamous Cody chant will be there. You know, the FYJW. I would hope that they would be there, maybe inside the ring itself. I don't see us having a two-tier ring at all, but that would still be freaking cool. But I would not be surprised if we had a blue stone, the logo on the front with the blue stone. I wouldn't be surprised at all, but I can only imagine to get into the heads of how they wanted these designed. As soon as we see what these things look like, Cliff, I'm hyped for these. I'm curious to know the whole design process behind these things, and once we finally get to see them.
Oh, without question. And yeah, you're right. I think a lot has changed. Even when you think back, like the 2009, 2010, like those rings were, at the time, considered almost a little ostentatious, like, like really, really blinged out, as they say. And as you said, over the years, sports teams just seem to try and find a way to one up it as far as how many jewels you can put on there. As you said, the top comes off and becomes a pendant. You look inside the ring itself when you take the top off, and it is like a stadium built into it.
Yeah.
And LED lights, like all sorts of bells and whistles are just like
LED lights in a ring. What the hell?
it's wild. But I don't know if the Alouettes will go quite that extravagant with this ring, but I definitely see them trying to incorporate a lot of the stuff that Jason Moss had incorporated in that Great Eight logo that I definitely see a lot of that will probably end up being a part of the ring itself. Somehow incorporating the number eight, like, you know, eight championships on the front side. Mm-hmm. Obviously the All West logo, some sort of nod to Hamilton perhaps. There's
probably the Grey Cup logo. Probably the Grey Cup logo will be on the side of one of the rings. I mean, if anybody remembers the 2000 and 2010 rings, they were a monster. They were huge. These things, but you know, championship rings have just gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. It's not like cell phones, which, you know, were small, gotten big, and we're kind of in between now. What cell phones are going to look like, you know, because we've gone back to flip phones, for Christ's sake. kind of, you know, yeah. So I can only imagine what these things are going to look like. And I don't have the picture here. By the way, what do you guys think? Let us know in the chat. Let us know in social media. Let us know what you guys think about what you want to see. And we'll have to go back and check some of the comments and what they've said on the Owls posts on their social media accounts. So,
you know what I would like to see on the Grey Cup ring this year?
What's that?
Our names. I think we should, you know, if whoever's listening in the organization, we're still willing to send our ring sizes. You know, I mean, listen, we're not that hard to find. So,
but
you know what? I'll even settle for as we talked about in previous chats about like the replica rings that they release for fans. Like,
yeah.
I definitely think that's a no brainer right there. Like, you got to be able to do that. And like for like the first 10,000 people at the home opener, for example, to be given a replica of whatever the Grey Cup ring is going to look like, I think that's just automatic as far as I'm concerned. Like the Toronto Argonauts did that back in 2017 as well as 2022. The Saskatchewan Roughriders re-released, so to speak, a replica of their Grey Cup ring from 2013 for their season ticket holders last season to celebrate the 10-year anniversary of their championship. So, I mean, the precedent has already been set as far as I'm concerned. So I sincerely hope that the Alouettes do exactly that. Like, just make sure that the fans get an opportunity to have a replica ring of their own. Because, I mean, as much as I'm sure they would love to give a Grey Cup ring to every Tom, Dick, and Harry, I mean, it's just not feasible to do so. But replica rings are, that is doable as far as I'm concerned. So I sincerely hope that this organization realizes that and understands that and makes sure that they do something along those lines for their fans.
We've had fans too, you know, we've seen it before where fans are so hyped about their specific team where they will get a Super Bowl champion XYZ tattoo on their body and then it never comes to fruition. I don't have the picture, but it's something that you sent to me prior to the show tonight that we at least have to shout out because it was a thing of beauty. There's just the art done by this fan to commemorate the 2023 championship was just outstanding.
Yeah. Shout out to our man at the Nick Delta on X. He actually sent me the photo to say that I had to wait. I went, obviously, Alouettes winning the Grey Cup, I had to get the ink done. And he showed it to me. I was like, holy crap. Like, that's amazing. First of all, I got to give props because you didn't do the stupid thing. Like, as you referenced earlier, Tim, is that a lot of people will go and get a Super Bowl winning tattoo of their team, hoping that they're going to win the Super Bowl, and then they don't. So that irks me to no end. I can't stand when people like that's the kiss of death as far as I'm concerned. If you are stupid enough to get a Super Bowl tattoo of your team and they haven't won it yet, I'm sorry. I can't help you with that. It's just I'm judging. I'm sorry. That's just absolutely stupid. If you're going to mutilate your body, and that's essentially what a tattoo is. And like, listen, it's beautiful. Like you find a tattoo artist that does art and makes it look amazing, that's great. But putting a, you know, like how many people have like, over the past 5-7 years have, for example, Super Bowl winning tattoos for the Dallas Cowboys, for the
somebody did a thing for the Eagles. Didn't somebody do it for the Niners too?
Oh, I'm sure they did. And like I said, I can't stand by that. But because again, I've seen people that go out and get tattoos when the team wins the championship. For example, Bruce Arians for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. After they won the Super Bowl, Tampa did against Kansas City. Then he went and got his tattoo. So I know it's such a crazy concept, it seems, but imagine that. Like, the tattoo parlors aren't going anywhere. Like, you can wait. Why don't you wait and make sure your team actually did it? Like, I'm all for speaking things into existence, but Jesus, like, getting a tattoo, which are not cheap, by the way. I mean, a good quality tattoo is going to run you a couple $100s. And you piss it away because your team didn't win the Super Bowl and you look like a dummy in the process. I don't get it, but I got to give props to Nick. Tattoo looks absolutely beautiful. Wish we could show it on here. It's not able to, but we'll definitely tweet out a photo of it because it's fire. I got to tell you, it looks awesome. And again, once again, props to Nick for waiting until the team truly won the Grey Cup championship, then getting the ink done. And yeah, I mean, and if anyone else has went and gotten a Grey Cup tattoo, a championship tattoo, I know the Alouettes, like some of the Alouettes players, as we talked about too, they were getting ink done to celebrate the championship. Would love to see that as well. If any other fans or whatnot have gone out and gotten Grey Cup championship tattoos, show it to us. Let us know. Like, our socials are right here down at the bottom here, or you know where to find us. So I mean, like, let us see those Grey Cup winning tattoos. I haven't gotten one, and I don't plan on getting one, but love to see it though. Love to see it. So make sure if you have, send it our way. We would love to see it. We'll gladly highlight it and let everybody see how dedicated you are to the cause.
Actually, now that you've talked about it, we got to show it to show everybody what it looks like.
Oh,
there's Nick's tattoo. Isn't that gorgeous?
That incredible. Incredible.
The only thing that ruins it is next to it's next to Patriot Pete.
Is it Patriot Pat?
Or who cares? It's just the Patriots either way.
Yeah, I could do without that. But I mean, like, look at it. I mean, that's just perfect. I mean, that's art right there.
Yeah, that's what needs to be done. And the guy that did the Grey Cup, absolutely amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Even with the CFL logo, I mean, it's fantastic.
Yeah, and it looks.
Look, and I also have to state this: Nick also resides in the United States. If that's not even more incredible, I mean, it's one thing for if you're a Montrealer born and bred and you got a CFL championship tattoo, that's great. But the fact that Nick resides in New England and got this work done is absolutely incredible. So I mean, shout out to Nick once again. Awesome stuff, my man. And, folks, if you've done this too, let us know. Show us and we'll be happy to show you the love. It's absolutely incredible.
Exactly. We've been talking about social media all night. Don't forget that we are on social media. You can find us multiple places. If you want to check out any of the archive, if you have to miss any of the recent shows, you can check us out over at www.alouettesflightdeck.ca. You can follow us over on X or Twitter or Twix. That is at Alouettes FL Deck. You can also follow us on Facebook at Alouettes Flight Deck Pod. And also you can follow us on Instagram and YouTube at Alouettes Flight Deck. And also, Cliff, as you know, if you want to happen to rep the podcast in any way, shape, or form, including three things we have actually not put out on social media yet, what am I thinking? We have three new shirts that joined the 2024 Flight Deck Collection. You can head over to our website and see everything that's there. Head over to flightdeckgear.ca. Check out the new merch. Yeah, I like it. I like it. Didn't pass it by Cliff. So, of course, I liked it because I posted it. So,
I guess I'm going to have to like it too. But, I mean, folks, I mean, there's all sorts of great stuff on the website as well. Don't forget, too, our Cartoon Bird 56 shirt, which was our most selling shirt last year. You still, if you haven't gotten one, which I'm surprised if you haven't, but if you haven't gotten one, there's still plenty of time. They still have them in stock. The We the Ones championship t-shirt. Yep. That we put out, that's also there as well. And definitely check out the new merch that Tim put up because I didn't get a chance to approve it. So you might as well get some of that too, because I'm sure it's good. So
the We the Ones championship t-shirt is a Alouettes Flight Deck exclusive. So you won't find it anywhere else. So,
www.flightdeckgear.ca.
I got something in today, showed it to you before we started. And, this is kind of shades of, shout out to our guys over at the Turf Dish podcast where they have their Hoard and Tell by Superfan Mike. But we got something today because we were talking about last show, how we have again partnered with our sponsor Sport Buff, and having the flight crew seats are going to be available once again for 2024. And you know what? Having the chance to have a pair of tickets, Cliff, to go see the Alouettes, especially in their year where they're defending the Grey Cup championship, I'm hoping that these things are going to be a hot commodity. So, we try to do a little bit of a promo if we can, whenever we send out the link each week, however we may be giving them away, Cliff. I decided to go ahead and reach out to a company that happened to pop up on on I think it was Facebook, either Facebook or Instagram, but they're a Canadian owned company. And I said, you know what? I'm going to try to do this because, you know, as you and I know, Cliff, when we were there at Grey Cup, because of the way that everything goes these days, where everything's digital, you can buy a fake ticket that went along with a lanyard and whatnot, but they give you the chance to actually create your own physical tickets where you can, you know, put whatever you want on them. So if we wanted to create one specifically for Grey Cup, we could for our scrapbooks type of thing. So I happened to get them done. And what I wanted to do is to show everybody, see if these come in, but these are our flight crew promo tickets that we're going to be using this year. I wish it would zoom in better, but it's not. But as you can see, the tickets there, you will be seeing them very shortly. I'm showing them on the screen kind of like this because I had a lot of thought. It was quite a bit of a thought process on how I wanted these tickets to look this year, Cliff. And there are quite a few Easter eggs in here. And I'll, you know what? I will say this. If you can point out at least 6 Easter eggs, I want you to DM me specifically. That's at Repact on Twitter. Okay. And I will send you a free Flight Deck shirt of your choice.
Cool.
Free Flight Deck shirt of your choice. So as I said, there are multiple Easter eggs on this ticket. I will make sure for those of you listening to the audio portion that I will tweet it out onto social media so you get a fair chance to see it too. But
yes.
Yeah. Make sure you DM me on Twitter, on X, on Twix, at Repact, REPPACT, and I will send you a shirt of choice from the Flight Deck shop. So, there but we'll go, be using folks. That. We'll be using that for our promotion this year.
So yeah, very exciting. And as I said, folks, we're definitely excited for the season to get underway so that we can start giving away those flight crew seats and having those tickets there as well. That's awesome. Cause yeah, as much as I understand, you know, the need to go virtual for just about everything nowadays, there is still something cool about having like actual physical tickets in your hand. So to be able to have that right there and be able to use that as part of a promotion for the flight crew seats, I think it's absolutely awesome. So yeah, make sure we post a photo of those. Make sure you check out those Easter eggs. Let Tim know what you find. And if you find them all, hey, you get free swag. Yeah. It doesn't get any better than that.
Exactly. I'm still bitter too that the Alouettes don't print up the pocket schedules anymore. I love pocket schedules. Those are, I know Tim dropped it, right?
Let it go, man. Yeah, let it go.
It's been how many years so far? Oh, man. By the way, speaking of Twitter, Twix, X, don't forget you can reach out to Cliff at Cliffy D. Anything else we want to bring before we finish up the show this week? So we will be returning in 2 weeks. We're getting closer and closer to the time where we are still going to start going on a weekly basis, but not as of yet. But was there anything else that we wanted to bring up? I know we had a signing of sort. There really weren't that many signings that the Alouettes did this week over the past 2 weeks, but anything particular that you wanted to mention?
Like I said, a couple small moves here and there, but nothing like mostly who may have becoming camp bodies. But I mean, it's kind of funny. I say that and I don't mean to be derivative about that. It's just a matter of that we don't know who these players are, but all they need is the opportunity to get onto the field and show what they can do. And next thing you know, boom, there's your next superstar. Mm-hmm. And could any of these signings be? I mean, that's something we'll have to take a look at also too before the season gets underway, is take a look at these, for lack of a better term, no-name players and just see based on their college career or based on their measurables, any of that stuff. Like, let's take a look at some of these players and see who among them could become what Austin Mack became in 2023, what Tyler Snead became in 2023, what Reggie Stubblefield became in 2023. Mm-hmm. I mean, we could have our next superstar waiting in the wings. And, you know, it's just another fun exercise to see who will become the next member of potentially another championship organization like the Montreal Alouettes. So that's something that we could definitely do. We've also got a couple of alumni interviews that I'm hoping to get finalized very soon. We'll be doing that again before the season gets underway. So by all means, folks, like, subscribe, make sure you throw some comments our way. Let us know what we're doing good, what we're not doing so good. You know, we appreciate each and everybody's feedback on this. And yeah, I mean, this, what is it? The season is going to come before you know it, folks. And I sincerely hope that you'll be as ready for it as what Tim and I are planning to be.
Yeah, exactly. So as I said, we'll be back in what is currently scheduled within 2 weeks. So that would be the 27th of March. Stay tuned to our socials for any more information other than that. And again, we want to thank Alouettes General Manager Danny Machocha for joining us again. It was great having him back in the flight deck and to talk about the Alouettes, because as I mentioned before, the guy has a ton of insight. If you happen to miss any of it, by the way, you'll be able to listen to this on an audio version, or this will be available on archive very shortly on our YouTube page, or you can head over back to our Facebook page, because it will be available there too. So either way, we're getting closer, dude. Getting closer to camp starting, and I can't wait till we're feet first in St. Jerome, standing on the sidelines, watching what becomes this 2024 Alouettes franchise.
100%. That's, yeah. I mean, yeah. How can you not get hyped? I mean, I know I may be a little biased, but I mean, how can you not get hyped at everything we've talked about this evening, as well as what's to come? I mean, there truly isn't much of an off season left anymore. I think it really is just, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want to be in on this? And mm-hmm. I know myself, I'm in 100%. I mean, I haven't even watched any hockey this year. Like, I really haven't.
I've just seen highlights. It's okay. Actually, you know what? I'm paying more attention to the women's stuff. Women's stuff it's amazing what they've been able to do for a first year league.
Oh yeah. Like, actually, you know what? And yeah, like I'm sorry, I haven't watched the game yet, but I mean, I definitely am keeping tabs on what the PWHL is doing as well, and great stuff. I mean, you know, I've actually heard that they're going to be playing, I think it's Montreal versus Toronto at the Bell Center.
Yeah, in May.
And it's going to be sold out too.
Yes, it would set an all-time record. Ooh. All-time record, for what they're calling world record, for a women's hockey game.
That's amazing. And the fact that it's going to be happening here in Montreal, that's awesome. So yeah, definitely, folks, if you're like us, just patiently waiting for football to come back, go check out some women's hockey. It's absolutely fantastic stuff. It's, the hype behind it is absolutely incredible, and it's just a great product. So definitely go check it out.
Yeah, by all means, we got everything starting too. We got the Alliance starting soon. Obviously, there's a huge tie to the Alliance. With Annie LaRoche there too, so I mean, you can't miss it there too. So, hey, support local. As we said, support local in any way, shape, or form that you can. Fans, that's all that matters. So, we will see you guys in 2 weeks, Cliff. I appreciate you, buddy. So, for everybody here at the Alouettes Flight Deck, for Cliffy D, I'm Tim Capper. Run Final Approach.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.